Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thanks, Molly, for that prayer. I think just the worship this morning was amazing, wasn't it? And I think God's already been doing some things in our hearts, in our lives, breaking through some fear and instilling some courage in us. 2 weeks ago, Matt and Dave spoke and shared what we believe is God's word for us as a church in 2019, and that's the word transformation. We really believe that God is going to change things for us this year as a church and as individuals, as we become more like him and we're transformed from one degree of glory to another. Last week, Dave was recognising that change and transformation can be challenging. We don't all like change, do we? So in order to be able to step into all that God's called for us and go through those changes and transformation, we need to be a people of courage and of confidence. Dave spoke to us from the story of Caleb. Because Caleb had courage, he was able to see God's promise fulfilled. Unlike those around him who did not get to see that promise fulfilled. And Caleb was able to walk into the promised land 40 years later. And that was because he had confidence that God was bigger than the obstacles that he faced. He looked at the facts in front of him and he was able to see the fruit of God's promises and the potential of what could be, not the truth of what lay before him. From Caleb's story, Dave explored what courage looks like and he shared a definition of courage with us, which is stepping out in faith despite the fears and challenges of life. Stepping out in faith despite the fears and challenges of life. Dave used the story of Caleb to show us these three things: that courage puts God in first place. When we're wholehearted going for God, then we grow in courage. Courage puts fear, God in first place was the first one, wasn't it? Courage put God in first place, and when we're wholehearted for God, that gives us courage. And courage puts fear in its place. It doesn't deny the facts, but it looks to God. And courage never gives up. It was 45 years later that Caleb saw the promised land. He stuck in there for all that time. He did not give up on the promises that God had given to him. So today we're going to explore a little bit about the story of Caleb's buddy, his counterpart. We heard a little bit about him last week. He was introduced to us, Joshua. And we're going to look at some practical things that will help us to grow in confidence and in courage. Dave mentioned Joshua last week. Along with Caleb, he was one of the 12 spies who went to check out the promised land ahead of time. It was he who, along with Caleb, said, "We can do this." He had the confidence to believe that the barriers to walking into what God had promised were not insurmountable. With God, the Israelites could take the land. You might remember from last week, there were also 10 other spies that said, "No, we can't do this." They just saw the obstacles and let the fear overtake them. They failed to put God first and were ready to give up at the first hurdle. Caleb and Joshua were in the minority, but yet they had that confidence and courage to say, "We can do this." So we're going to have a little bit of a look at Joshua and look at why. Why was he able to do that? Why did he have that confidence and that courage? So unlike Caleb, the story that Dave shared with us last week in Numbers is not the first time that Joshua appears in the Bible. I think that is the first time that Caleb pops up, but it's not the first time that Joshua pops up. He first shows up in Exodus 17. Exodus is really the story of Moses and his leadership. And Joshua actually just gets a bit of a passing mention when he's first mentioned. The Israelites have not been out of Egypt for that long, and they've just started out on their journey to the promised land. And then in Exodus 17, it tells us the story of the Israelites being attacked by the Amalek. And this is just a little mention that we get of Joshua. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek." We're given absolutely no introduction to who Joshua is, where he's come from, what his place are in things. It's pretty matter of fact. Just go and choose for some men. But this is the rest of that little story. It says this: "So Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek.' Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. When Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed, and whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, "The Lord is my banner," saying, "A hand will be on the throne of the Lord. The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." So what happened here was Joshua was just told, go and get an army and go and fight Amalek. What happened was while Joshua was out in battle, Moses went up to the top of the hill and held up his hands. And whenever he held up his hands, Joshua was winning. And whenever Moses put his hands down, he was losing. So in the end, Moses had to get some friends to hold up his hands so that Joshua could win the battle. But the thing that I really took from this passage this time when I was reading it is what came next was that the Lord said to Moses, "Write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua." Joshua was obviously some kind of army man, a fighter. He was the one chosen to be sent into battle to lead an army. He was brave, wasn't he? He must have had some courage. But it was obvious that in this situation, it was God who was responsible for the victory. Because when Moses held up his hands to God, they were winning. And when he lowered them, he started losing. And God wanted this account writing down and recited in the ears of Joshua. So this was recited. That's not just read once. Recited is when you say something over and over again. And in the ears of Joshua. God really wanted to get this message across to Joshua. When you're talking about talking in someone's ears, it's almost annoying, isn't it? It's right there. This message was repeated and repeated and repeated to Joshua. God wanted to get this message across to Joshua that he was the one who had made the victory possible. The altar that Moses built was named "God is my banner." And banners in battles are used to rally the troops. The soldiers unify around the banner and walk with the banner. And so calling the altar "God is my banner" is recognizing God as the one who unified his people and rescued them in the battle. But what this shows us is that Joshua's later confidence when he went to check out the promised land was that he had this confidence because it was based on his past experience of what God has done. His courage came from a place of remembering who God is and what he'd done for him in the past. So what can we take from this is that to grow in confidence, we need to remember what God has done for us. Some of us have been Christians for a really long time and we've walked with God for a long time, just as Joshua had when he entered the promised land to check it out. We've seen prayers answered, we've seen lives changed and transformed. We might have experienced that in our own life. Chris was talking about his experience earlier of knowing God with him when he's been facing mountains. Some of those stories are a long time ago and some of them are more recent. But when we've experienced God being with us in our own lives, it's easier to remember and believe that he can do it again. And that gives us confidence and courage. Sometimes, though, we need to remember to remember, don't we? We need to remember to look back and see what God has done for us. Some of us in our life groups at the moment are doing the prayer course. In the first part of the prayer course, we're reflecting on Psalm 103, which says this, David praising God, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits." And David goes on then to list loads of the things that God has done for him. And that's used in the prayer course to remind us that when we praise God and when we recognise God for who he is and what he's done, that helps us to have confidence in what we're asking for when we pray. when we recognise the journey we've come on and what God's already done for us and where he's been faithful to us already, that gives us strength to have courage to face the challenges of today, doesn't it? In our household, some people will know that Paul's self-employed. He works making websites and doing some music. And in the early days of him being self-employed, that was really challenging for us. That was something that we'd had to step out into, for him to leave his job and not know where his income coming from. And in those early days, it doesn't happen so much now. There were some times when he would just say, I have nothing to do next week. I have absolutely no work to do. Where on earth is the money going to come from? And we had to really believe God's word to us that this is something that he'd asked for us to do, for Paul to go self-employed. And we just had to really lay it before God and say, God, please provide for us. And every single time, there was some work the next week. It might have just been work for 1 week, but there was some work. And that story just really sticks with us now. And we believe that God is a provider. And he provides for us, and he provides for our needs. And we're not often in that situation now, but sometimes we're like financial worries, financial things are often something that come and hit all of us at different times, aren't they? But in those times when we're more struggling, we're able to go, no, God provided in those situations where we had literally did not know where the money was coming from and how we're going to pay the bills. We didn't know, but God provided. And that gives us confidence and courage now to step out and do new things. There's been numerous times when God's asked us to do something which has meant our income being challenged, but we've been able to say no, because God did it then, we know that he'll do it again. So when we remember what God has done for us, when Joshua remembered that God has helped him conquer in battle before, we can have confidence, Joshua could have confidence for what God is already going to do, going to do next. For some of us though, we might not be a Christian yet, or we've not been one for very long. For some of us, we might think, I've not got that kind of history to remember from. Or you might be struggling to see God in your past story right now. But the great news is, isn't it, is that we have this. We have the Bible, the Word of God, which is full of stories of God at work in people's lives. Stories of people just like you and just like me, and stories of what God has done in the past that are relevant for us now, and we can remember those stories to help give us confidence and courage of what is possible and of what God has done and will continue to do. God said to Moses, write it down. That benefited Joshua when it was repeated in his ears and when it was recited to him, but it also benefits you and I all these years later. This story and all the others that are in the Bible help us to remember what God has done in difficult situations and gives us courage to face our situations today. And we've got a whole heritage, haven't we, of all the way from the Old Testament through the New Testament, through church history, of stories of where God has conquered, where God has got people through it, where God has rescued his people, where God has been with individuals through difficult things. We have a heritage. We have the Bible. We have our Christian heritage that help us to remember what God has done to give us courage and confidence for today and tomorrow. So to grow in confidence, let's remember what God has done in our lives and in the lives of those who've gone before us. Another thing that I think helped Joshua's courage levels was that he had encountered the presence of God. In a little later in Exodus, in Exodus 24, we read about Moses going up Mount Sinai to meet God, and he took some of the elders of Israel. And they didn't all go right up to the top with Moses, but the account does tell us that all those who were present saw God. So this is in Exodus 24, verse 9 and 10. It says this: Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky himself. But God did not raise his hands against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God and they ate and drank. And that is basically all it says about this little bit. But they saw God. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire. They saw God and they ate and drank. So all 70 of these elders of Israelites saw God up there on that mountain. And we know that Joshua was there with them too. In fact, a little later in verse 13, it says, "Then Moses set out with Joshua, his assistant, and Moses went up on the mountain of God." So we know that Joshua was there with all the 70 elders and that he saw God. But then we know that by this time, Joshua is described as Moses' assistant, and he got up and went up the mountain with Moses. Now, we're not quite sure what happened to Joshua when Moses went right up to the top of the mountain. It just tells us what happened to Moses and the glory of God and all that kind of stuff and given the commandments. But we do know that Joshua was on that mountain for the whole 40 days that Moses was up the mountain. Because later on in chapter 32, there's recorded a conversation with Moses and Joshua on the way down the mountain, where they could hear the people of God down at the bottom having some rumblings. So we know that Joshua was on the mountain with Moses when Moses went up and encountered God in all of his glory. And we know that Joshua did see God along with all the other 40 elders of Israel. To be honest, I think seeing God in all his glory is a pretty good way of being sure that you will have confidence in him later on and courage to believe that God can get rid of all the people in the promised land so that the Israelites can take it. I'm pretty sure that this was a factor in Joshua having confidence and courage. He had seen and encountered the presence of God. The good news for us today, isn't it, is that we can all encounter the presence of God. We don't have to go up a mountain to do it. We don't have to go with Moses. We don't have to be one of the chosen few elders of Israel. Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, because of the temple curtain being torn into, each and every one of us here today has got the privilege of coming into God's presence. We've already experienced that this morning, haven't we, through our worship. And prayer and worship is the way that we can come into God's presence today. God invites us in. He wants us in his presence. And when we spend time with God, when we see his power and his goodness and his strength, when we get to know him, that strengthens us, it sustains us, it gives us boldness, it gives us courage for what we are facing and for what's ahead of us. At the beginning, Chris mentioned the Transform Worship Nights that we've got coming up. The first one's just in a couple of weeks. And this is the reason why we have put these in our diary this year, because we believe that when, as a people, we come into the presence of God, then we will be filled with courage, with confidence, to see what God can do in our lives. And we think it's really important in this season of transformation to come into God's presence as a people. So really encourage you to be at those. There's something significant happens when we gather for that purpose. But the good news is we don't have to wait for that. The good news is that each and every single one of us can come into God's presence anytime, anywhere, wherever we're walking around. And you know, for some people, a great worship night is the place where they really feel God's presence. But for others of us, it's different, isn't it? A walk in nature, we can encounter God's presence. On our way to work, on a bus, we can encounter God's presence. In the faces of the people we meet in our community, we can encounter God's presence. On our own, in our bedroom, during our quiet time, we can encounter God's presence. In the noise and bustle of our school day, we can encounter God's presence. Because of what Jesus has done for us, all of us can encounter God's presence, can come into God's presence, be welcomed in to God's presence through our prayer, through our worship, through our walk with God. And so to grow in confidence, let's remember what God has done, but let's seek to keep on encountering the presence of God in our everyday life. And I think we're seeing something here of the importance of the spiritual disciplines of reading and knowing our Bible, of prayer, of worship. And these are the things that build Joshua's confidence in God and gave him courage with Caleb to say, yes, we can do it. We can enter the promised land. And so last week we heard from Dave the story in Numbers of Joshua and Caleb being sent as scouts, as spies, to go into the promised land, to have a look round, to see what it was like, to report back to the rest of the Israelites what it's going to be like. And they were only 2 out of 12 who came back and said, yes, we can do it. And as a result of that, God said, right, the rest of you, you're not going to get there. You're not going to get there, but you two, you're the only ones who are going to get there. And so now we're going to jump forward to 40 years later when the Israelites have been wandering around in the desert, basically waiting for all that generation to die out. And they're going to about to enter the promised land. Moses dies. He's one of the ones who doesn't get to see the promised land as well. And as he dies, he appoints Joshua as leader over all Israel. Joshua's been Moses' apprentice, he's been his assistant, he's been working with him, and at this moment he's appointed Joshua as leader over Israel. And at the start of Joshua 1, that's where we're going to pick up the story, where God is speaking to Joshua at the beginning of his leadership of the people of Israel. So Joshua and Katie are going to come and read this account to us. Let's just spend a minute listening. You can follow it in Joshua 1, and it's going to be on the screens as well.
After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people. Prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over, armed before your brothers, and shall help them, until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you. And they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it. The land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandments and disobeys your words, whatever you command him, shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.
Brilliant. Thank you, guys. So what we've got here is God commissioning Joshua for what's ahead, a new role in leadership. We already know that Joshua has displayed strength and courage throughout his life before, but yet here, when he's being commissioned for the next part of his life, God reminds him three times, be strong and very courageous. And then, right at the end, the people remind him too, for good measure, be strong and very courageous. And as he's entering this new stage of life, which was going to be really challenging for him personally and for the people that he was leading, he needed to hear clearly from God. And I believe that's true for us as we enter a new season in Ashwood, one that we're calling a season of transformation, that we need to be open to hear from God. What God was saying to Joshua in this passage was both an encouragement and a command. Joshua had had the period he needed to be ready. And here, God is encouraging Joshua that he could do it. He was reminding him again of what he'd done in the past and what his promises were. He was encouraging Joshua to remember. He was encouraging him that he could do it and this was possible. But he was also commanding Joshua, be strong and very courageous. He repeated it three times. And in verse 9, he even says, in case Joshua's not quite got it, have I not commanded you? Be strong and very courageous. He was telling Joshua clearly what he needed to do, which suggests there's a little bit of an element of choice here. Joshua could choose or not choose to be strong or very courageous. He needed to hear clearly from God. And I think we need to, like Joshua, be open to hearing from God, individually and as a church, what God is saying to us as we enter this season of transformation. Israel, in this moment, were entering a significant season of transformation. They were entering, or about to enter, into the full promises of God that had been spoken over them for many generations. They were going to have this promised land that had been promised to Abraham many years before. And here they are on the brink of it. This is a season of transformation that had been spoken over them for many generations. They were about to move from a transient people who were just wandering around all over the place to a settled people, settled in the promises of God. And so we, as we are entering this season of transformation, which I believe is going to be really significant for us, in which we are going to step into the promises of God over us as individuals and as a church that have been made for many years, let's enter into that. As we enter into this season of transformation, we need to be open to hear from God. We need to be open to receive his encouragement that yes, we can do it. And we need to be open to receiving his commands. And that will make us bold. And that hearing from God will give us strength and confidence and make us courageous to be able to step into what God has got for us. So we need to, as we're seeking to gain courage, to be open and make space to hear from God. We need to remember what God's done. We need to be ready to encounter the presence of God. We need to be open to hear from God. And then we need to step out in obedience to what God is asking for us to do. And in the second bit of that passage, the bit that Katie read, we see that Joshua immediately acted on what God asked him to do. He called together the people, he got them ready, and he sent them out into the promised land to take the land. And then the people, they immediately obeyed as well. They obeyed what Joshua was asking him to do without question because they knew that that was from God. They were obeying God too. And when we act on what God asks us to do, when we step out in confidence, God gives us more boldness and more courage. Actually, it's when we don't do what God is asking of us and when we don't walk with him, that's when we feel the most fear. Because when we're not walking with God, when we're not doing what he asks us to do, that is when we will feel the most fear. It's a bit of an oxymoron, isn't it? That to grow in courage, we need to be courageous. But it makes sense, doesn't it? Practice makes perfect. In our household, Maisie is learning to play the drums. She loves playing the drums most of the time, but sometimes it's really hard and she wants to give up and she says, I don't want to practice anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. It's difficult and it takes courage to keep going when it's difficult, but she wants to be a drummer. She wants to sit there where Benji was sitting this morning and she wants to play in the worship band. And that is what keeps her going and keeps her practicing and keeps her going, because practice makes perfect. To be a drummer, you have to practice drumming. To be courageous, you have to practice being courageous. And Joshua, up to this point, had already actually had some practice, didn't he? He'd fought the Amaleks, he'd been up the mountain, he'd met with God, but he still had to practice courage in this situation. He still had to obey God in the face of a new challenge in his life. What he was facing seemed impossible in human terms. We see, as if you read on the story, I encourage you to do that, he had to cross a river in flood season, I mean, in order to get into the promised land. He had to break down the walls of Jericho in order to take the promised land. It seemed impossible, but he obeyed God's command to see God's purposes fulfilled. Sometimes, to grow in courage, we have to, in the words of Nike, just do it. Or in the words of Joyce Meyer, do it afraid. Even when we're still feeling fear, we have to just do it, step out, in order to grow in courage. Dave last week talked about that when we keep thinking about what could happen, if I do this, this could happen. If I do this, this could happen. If I do this, this could happen. And this grows, this fear grows. It just allows this fear time to develop and grow and become massive. But actually, if we just do it, it doesn't give the fear time to grow. Sometimes we have to do it and risk looking a bit silly. To be honest, if you were going to go out and defeat a city, would you just walk around the walls 7 times singing? No, you wouldn't. Joshua risked looking silly, but he obeyed what God was asking him to do. I've told this story to you before. A neighbour across the road was really poorly. She was really ill, and I felt like God was asking me to go and pray for her, go and knock on the door and offer to pray for her. I knew she was poorly, not from talking to her, but from talking to her family. And I was a bit scared about this. And really, I was scared about it for all those reasons that Dave was talking about last week, because I was thinking, oh, what if? And in the end, and I'd talked to my life group about it at the time, the ladies in the life group, I'd spoken to Janet about it. Janet kept going, have you done it yet? Have you done it yet? Janet is great for accountability. But you know what? In the end, I just went, what is this all about? I know that God has asked me to do this. Why am I not doing it? And so I just went across the road, knocked on the door, pretty much straight away, just asked if I could pray for her. And of course, she welcomed that prayer. She was quite happy for me to pray with her. But actually, when I made that decision, I'm just going to do it, the fear went, because I knew that it was what God had asked me to do. So sometimes we've got to just decide that we're going to do it anyway. And actually, if we're going to be transformed, if we're going to move forward, if we're going to grow, if we're going to go from one degree of glory to another, staying put is not an option. Staying put is not an option. To see the promise of God in our lives, we've got to obey God in order to get there. Maybe God is challenging you this morning to just do something that he's been asking you to do for a little while. Maybe it's getting involved in serving in church or in the community in a new way, getting involved in food bank, the kids stuff, youth, alpha, community events. We've got a community cafe under development. Louise is looking for volunteers for that. That might feel scary, just coming in and meeting people in our community. It might be that God's challenging you to talk to a neighbour or a friend about your faith, taking that to another a relationship to another level, inviting them along to something. It might be that God's asking you to pray for healing for someone. That is a scary one for a lot of people. Like that is something I have often really struggled with, but right now there's one particular situation where I believe God is saying he's going to break through in healing, and that my prayers are going to be significant in that. And that is that is challenging me to step out and just pray and keep praying, even though I'm not right now seeing any answers. I believe that God has says my prayers will unlock, and so I'm keeping praying for that. Maybe that is what God is asking you to do this morning. Maybe God's saying, I want you to leave your job and do something new. Maybe that's what God's asking you to do. Maybe God is asking you to do something in your life, or maybe there's a situation in your life that he's asking you to change. Maybe there's something in your character that God is challenging this morning, and God is saying you need to do something about that. And he wants to help you with it. But maybe today there's a decision you need to make to step out in obedience to something that God is asking you to do. And in a few minutes, as we wrap up, I'm going to pray for us to have that courage to step out. I've got one last thing that I want to draw out from the passage first. So to grow in confidence, we need to remember what God's done. We need to encounter the presence of God. We need to be open to hear from God. We need to step out in obedience. But this last thing that I want to draw out from that passage that we've just read, that Joshua and Katie read for us, is this. In verse 5, God says to Joshua, "Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave or forsake you." And in verse 9, "Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." God wanted Joshua to be certain that God would be with him. The same is true for us. And to grow in confidence and courage, we need to get to a place where we know that we are not alone. We are not alone. God is for us. Loneliness is a huge problem in the UK today. Some research recently showed that 9 million people, that's almost a fifth of the population, say that they are always or often lonely. Only two-thirds of those are comfortable to admit that. In fact, loneliness is most intensely felt by young people. A survey of 55,000 people found that 16 to 24-year-olds experience loneliness more than any other age group. The people with the most Facebook friends are most likely to feel lonely. The research also shows that lonely people are more likely to suffer with ill health. They're more likely to suffer from dementia, heart disease, and depression. Loneliness is a huge issue. And that's part of the reason why we're looking at developing a community cafe, because we have seen that the people who are accessing our food bank, the people we are meeting in our community, the people we're interacting with, the biggest problem that they are facing today is loneliness. They're on their own. They're lonely. They feel alone. And that is something that we should not be feeling. None of us should be feeling. And we want those people in our community to know that they're not alone. That they're not alone. That God is with them. Because actually, when we're lonely, we're much more likely to be afraid. We're much more likely to feel afraid if we are lonely. This passage gives us the reassurance that God is with us. And Joshua needed that reassurance. We need that reassurance. The people in our community need that assurance that God is with them. But also, what I love in this passage is how the people react to Joshua. What they say is, "We will go with you." They are sharing Joshua's journey with him. This is not just Joshua's journey. It's a journey that is shared in community. They are on his side. As we've already mentioned, they join in God's encouragement to Joshua. Be strong and very courageous. They repeat God's words to him. And we can do that for each other. God is with us, and that is crucially important. But as Ashwood, we are with each other. We believe we are a relational church. We are a family. We are supportive. And when we step out, when we're going to step out in fear to do new things, we need to know that someone has got our back. We need to know that someone in this room, or people in this room, have got your back. And if you read on, you just see how, in this story, you'll see how the community rallied and did it together. They crossed the Jordan. That was teamwork. They brought down the walls of Jericho. That was teamwork. We are not alone on this journey that we call life. Let's take courage from being in community, in being in family, in being church together. If you do not feel part of that this morning, then I am telling you, encouraging you, take some steps to feel part of it. Talk to someone this morning about the fact that you don't feel part of it. Ask someone to pray with you. If you are not already in a life group, join a life group. If you don't go to life group very often, I encourage you, go to life group more often. Get on a serving team. There are so many ways that you can immerse yourself in community, and that will help you to know that you are not alone. Maybe something is causing fear in you today. Maybe you're struggling to step out. Encourage you to talk to someone before you go today, to remind yourself that you are not alone. God is with you. The people sitting around you are with you. Just have a look around at them. Might be a bit of a rabble, a bit of a diverse bunch. But we, and I'm declaring this, we are with you. Know that you are not alone this morning. Be strong and very courageous, because you know that you are not alone. God is with you and we are with you. So to grow in courage, let's do these things. Let's remember what God has done for us. And actually, in that passage, God reminds Joshua that, meditate on my word. Remember what God has done for you and for other people that you know, for people in the Bible. Get into the Bible. Get to know the stories. Remember what God has done for you. Encounter the presence of God. Get into prayer. Get into worship. Find your own ways, but know that God wants you in his presence. Be open to hear from God. Be open to hear what he's challenging you with this morning that will take your courage, and then step out in confidence. Step out in obedience. Step out in courage. As you do that, you will grow in courage. And this morning, know that you are not alone. God is with you, and we are with you. Let's stand, shall we? You know.